Thank you so much, Greg and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today, and welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And I know that generally speaking, around 240-250 of you are headed to a church camp here over the next few days, and we wish for you all of God's best. Have a great time there at Camp Bandina. Church camp can certainly be a life-shaping, life-changing experience. Okay, well, we're in a series talking about prayer. Let's get into that, and let me pray, then we'll just get right to work, okay? Let's pray. Lord God, this morning we come to you ready to be open. We're open with our hearts and with our minds, and we want to learn. We are listening, and we long to hear from you and from your scriptures today. Change us for good. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. More than likely, the biggest motivator to your faith is answered prayer. When you've prayed specifically and you've seen some answer, it doesn't have to be a dramatic answer, some bold answer. Sometimes you get those. But you've seen a prayer answer that is probably the single biggest motivator to your faith. And more than likely, the single biggest demotivator to your faith is an unanswered prayer. Now, we've all had unanswered prayers, but there's a difference between an unanswered prayer and when I pray something and it's the prayer I most want answered. And that gets a no. Several years ago, country music star Garth Brooks had a song out called, I think it was number one song, Unanswered Prayers. Some of you know that song. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Sort of easy to, you know, glibly say. Can you really say that when the prayer you most want answered doesn't get answered? Have you seen the movie Signs, starring Mel Gibson? Came out a few years ago. It's actually a science fiction movie, but in the movie, Mel Gibson stars as an Anglican priest, and as you know, Anglican priests can be married. And so Mel Gibson is married, but his wife is killed in an automobile accident, and he is so angry at God, just so angry at God for letting that happen and for ignoring his prayers for protection that Mel Gibson, the priest, basically turns away from his faith, turns away from the priesthood, turns away from his faith. Now, he eventually returns to his faith and he gets some resolution, but part of the major subplot of that movie is his struggle with unanswered prayer. I have prayed for couples to stay together when they were going through difficult times and they got a divorce. I have prayed at times for relief from stress, and I just got more responsibility. I have prayed for people to accept Christ and be open to Christ, and it just didn't happen. And of all the things that can weigh us down, perhaps no burden is heavier than the silence of God when the prayer I most want answered gets a no. Psalm 10, verse 1 says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And that statement from the Bible just reminds me, and this is actually somewhat encouraging. I've been helped by the realization that I'm not the first person to have a prayer go unanswered. In fact, the Bible is filled with stories of men and women, really fine, godly, righteous men and women, who have some prayers that go unanswered. The Bible is not naive about this. I could mention several. I want to highlight two, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. I go first of all back to the Old Testament and the story of Moses. And do you remember the time in Moses' life when, you know, this is towards the end of their wilderness journey, the people are again, they are thirsty. They need water. Their livestock needs water. And, you know, they're whining again. They're complaining again. Why'd you bring us out here in the desert? It would have been better for us to have stayed back there in Egypt. All of our troubles are all your fault. What are you up to? What's God up to? Don't you have any clout? God tells Moses, Moses, speak to this rock and it will bring forth water. And Moses, and any of you who've ever been in any kind of leadership position, you can empathize with him. He has had it up to here, and his tolerant zone has maxed out, and he takes his staff, and instead of speaking to the rock, he gives it a couple of slams. Out comes the water. The people are refreshed. Their livestock are refreshed. But God said, Moses, you disobeyed me. Consequently, I'm going to discipline you. The people are about ready to cross the Jordan. They're going to enter into the promised land. But Moses, you will not go. And so Moses prays and he asks God to reconsider. Here's his prayer, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. At that time I pleaded with the Lord, O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven and on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works that you do? Let me go over, he says. Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. That seems like a reasonable request to me. After all, he's led these people for years. He has sacrificed time and energy. And here's God's response, verses 26 and 27. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me, and he would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. From a human perspective, I got to tell you, I don't get that. After all Moses had done in leading the people, I just don't get that. Maybe God wanted to show the entire nation a lesson that even when you are older and a seasoned veteran, all of your days, I'm asking you to trust and obey me, even if you've been a Moses. I don't know the rationale. But God said, no. He said, in essence, Moses, you're not going into Jordan. You're going to come with me up into my press box. We're going to watch it all unfold together, but you won't be a part of it. Now, let me show you a second unanswered prayer. This is from the New Testament. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is probably a little more familiar with some of you. This is the Apostle Paul. Here's what he has to say, 2 Corinthians 12:7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. In other words, Paul had had a number of majestic spiritual experiences. And to keep me humble, he says, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. And three times, that's a Hebrew idiom for repeatedly, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, nobody knows exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I don't know. Perhaps it was poor eyesight. You remember when he was converted, he was on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by a bright light. Perhaps that experience caused ongoing sight difficulties. And every day when he had trouble with his eyesight, it was a reminder, Paul, you didn't find me, says God, I found you. Maybe that was his thorn in the flesh. I don't know. Maybe it was a speech impediment. Many people think that. And therefore, when he would stand in public to speak to people, he just didn't have much in the way of public charisma. Whatever it was, it was something that Paul is saying, God, I would be so much more effective for you if you would take this away. This is limiting my ministry. And from a human perspective, it seems like such a reasonable request to me. Here's a man who has sacrificed all of his human ambitions. He was tough and his life was difficult enough. He didn't need any additional problems. But God said no. Paul, you will live with this infirmity for the rest of your life, and somehow in your weakness, I will be strong. Now, if God didn't say yes to Moses, and if God didn't say yes to Paul, when they were praying prayers that if you were to ask Moses, what's the prayer you most want answered today? Paul, what's the prayer you most want answered today? He told them no. And let me put a couple of statements up here on the screen. Unanswered prayer happens to the strongest believers. And unanswered prayer can defy obvious explanations. You prayed for a mate, and you're still single. You wanted children. It didn't happen. You prayed for victory, and you experienced a defeat. You prayed for healing, and she died way too soon. And when God doesn't answer prayers, yes, we need to maybe look for what God may be doing and have some perspectives there, but I want you to bear with me for a moment. For some of us, the very first place we need to look is in our own court. It is possible for people to hinder their own prayers. Let me very quickly mention three ways the Bible talks about that. First of all, it's possible to hinder my own prayers through deliberate defiance to God's clear will. You don't have to be a perfect person to pray. No one is. But if I'm living in deliberate defiance, it acts as a barrier to prayer. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 these words, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Those are sobering words. And if I am stubbornly holding on to rebellion, it sabotages my prayers. Secondly, a refusal to forgive others. Jesus, in talking to us about prayer, says in Mark 11, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." If I am nursing bitterness, if I am plotting revenge, if I am hoping for your downfall, the power of prayer is limited in my life. Number three, when I don't even have a mustard seed of faith. Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." That doesn't mean that when I pray in faith, it means that I pray and I just know that God is going to do whatever I ask. What I do have faith in is that I am invited to ask for anything, and I trust that he will hear me, and I trust that he will answer me according to his good pleasure and wisdom and kindness and grace. Now, but not all unanswered prayer is my fault. Jesus was perfect. And the most desperate prayer ever prayed was prayed by the purest heart that ever beat. Jesus desperately prayed that this cup would pass from him, and his prayer was not answered affirmatively. And so when your prayers are not answered, here are some perspectives I'd like to ask you to consider. First of all, give God permission to weave and craft his story through your life. Give God permission to do that. Give God permission to tell you, no, not this, but this. Now, God has that right anyway. But if you do not acknowledge and give God permission to do that, you will be filled with anger, frustration, and despair. Let me put a diagram up on the screen, please. All of us know what it's like to face a reality. it's our thorn in the flesh, whatever. It's that thing that says, God, my life would be so much more effective. My life would be better. I'm begging and asking you to change this reality for me, for a child, for a mate, for somebody I love. There's my reality. Hope is, God, take this thorn away. But in the meantime, you're right there in the desert. And what's the desert? A desert can be anything. You can be married to your desert. A desert can be a job situation that's incredibly difficult. A desert can be something of your own choosing, where you made a foolish choice and now you've got some really painful consequences. And when you're in the desert, you don't know how long it will last. The desert makes you thirsty, which is a good thing because you become thirsty for God. It's like He's the only game in town. And when you're in the desert, some people, when they're in the desert, they become cynical and bitter and they become mockers. It's like they start to mock other people who believe. But other folks, when they're in the desert, you know, there's an old statement that says, when life knocks you to your knees, you're in perfect position to pray. And for some people, when they're in the desert, it's like, okay, no longer do I really care what other people are thinking about me. I don't care about, I can't even experience joy without God's help. I can't get through another day without God's help. You know, and we begin to pray with the kind of passion you read about occasionally in Scripture. Oh God, earnestly I seek you. I'm in a dry and weary land. I'm reading a book right now by Paul Phillips. And he talks about his children a lot in this book. Particularly does he talk about a daughter of his who's handicapped. She can't speak. They prayed for years that she'd be able to speak. She can't speak. The reality was, we have a handicapped daughter. Their hope was, they prayed that she'd be able to speak and quote unquote be normal. But here's what they got instead. He said, you have to look for wonder. Wonder. God shows up in the desert. You're saying, God, remove the thorn. The thorn doesn't, that's your hope. Just take the thorn away. But He does show up, and you can experience the wonder and the touch and the kindness and the grace. My grace will be sufficient. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to show you myself. I'm going to help you along. And not, Paul Phillips wrote that not long ago, he was watching his daughter, who's now in her 20s, and she still can't speak. But she has this little box that will speak for her. And somebody asked her, said, hey, why can't you talk? And she typed in her box, as she's come to her own faith over the years, I will have a beautiful voice in heaven. And then that box said those words for her. Just because you don't get what you ask for doesn't mean that God is not acting on your behalf. He's weaving His story through your life. Don't just pray. Watch and pray. Watch for those evidences of wonder and kindness. You may not get your thorn removed, but neither are you on your own just to deal with it. God can bring wonders into your desert. Secondly, don't shut down your prayers when things aren't going your way. It's easy to do that. But those who wait upon the Lord can renew their strength. And something that's really important to note is that a lot of times, what God is doing in you while you are waiting may end up to be more important than what you're waiting for. Let me say that one more time. That sometimes what God does in you while you are waiting may end up to be more important than what you're waiting for. There have been times in my life when I've said, God, do something about, you know, X, Y, Z. And finally, I just sensed the answer was, God was saying, Ronnie, you do something about X, Y, Z, and I'll help you. Because as you all know, sometimes God answers prayer by saying, here, I'll do this for you. And sometimes he answers prayer by saying, I'll do this with you. Give up on a lot of things. Give up Twinkies. Never give up on the habit of prayer. Thirdly, stay on the lookout for God's unexpected gifts. Keep watching for evidences of God's grace and kindness, even in the desert. Always be looking for touches of his wonder. And number four, fourth, know that each of us will finish our life's race with an unfinished life story. Some of us would, we want to tie everything up in a nice, neat little box. Your life will not finish with a nice, neat little box. I preached a sermon years ago, and it took people by surprise. When I did it, they didn't quite know what to think. It was called, I said in the message, I said, I hope that you die before you're through. We all know people who stopped living and then they're waiting to die. I hope you continue to live and walk by faith all the way up to your last day. And, you know, sometimes I pray, God, just take my life and I hope at the end of my life I've got a nice, neat little life package and everything's put in its place and all the drawers are in order and the bows are tied. Even when you get to the end of your life's race, you still have an unfinished story. Ultimately, your life is God's story, and some stories are not tied up until heaven. And that awareness frustrates some people, and it invigorates others. I know of a lady who, she walks outside on a beautiful day like today. Some of us walk outside and we'll go, my, what a beautiful day. She walks outside on a day like this and she'll say, this would be a perfect day for Jesus to come back. Every day I'm praying, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Okay. The mystery of unanswered prayer is just that. It is a mystery. For the life of me, I don't understand why God didn't take away Paul's thorn in the flesh, and I don't understand why it just didn't let Moses go on over into Canaan. From my perspective, I don't get that. But I do know that even in those midst, he showed up and he showed them a touch of his grace and wonder, and his grace was sufficient for Paul, and it can be sufficient for me. May I remind you of this truth, that at the heart of the gospel, and you know what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of God taking upon himself our guilt and giving us his perfection and righteousness. At the heart of the gospel is an unanswered prayer. God, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. And God said no. He said no to the most desperate prayer from the purest heart that ever beat. But because he said no to that prayer, he says a huge yes to all of us. And sometimes even God's no to you is part of your sacrifice for others. I have watched so many of you over the years go through life events where you have prayed for God to change something and he said no. But I've watched you continue to walk through those life events with faith, hope, and love, and it was just part of your life message, just part of your ministry. Just God put you on a platform and you had no idea what an encouragement you were to others who watched. So God took a no to Jesus and made it a blessing to others, and sometimes he even sends a no to you, but that becomes a platform and part of your ministry to others as well. Okay. Sometimes you don't get the answer you want, but you are heard, and sometimes you get what you want and then some. And he is able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or imagine. Okay, folks, let's spend a little time together in prayer. I'm going to ask our prayer leaders to be making their way down to the front. Our elder couples will be hosting us in our prayer time. They'll be making our way down there, making their way down here. And I'd like to ask you as a church, please, to stand and to prepare yourself for a time of prayer. And as you're doing that, allow me to lead us here for just a moment in prayer. Father God, I pray for all these people gathered in this room. You know our needs even before we ask, and you know the thoughts and intent of each heart. You know the number of hairs on our head. There are people today who are a little frustrated and angry at you for not answering. They prayed, and in the words of David, the heavens seemed as brass. They don't understand why they'll hear a prayer testimony from another person, but right now the prayer they most want answered gets a no. Would you replace doubt with faith, replace resentment with trust? Some in this room today are full of tension. Would you give them peace? Some are wounded emotionally. Would you give them comfort? Some grieve. Would you fill them with just a sense of hope? Lord, may we all keep on praying, asking, and seeking, and give us open eyes. May we be perceptive people, not just prayerful, but watching and praying to see your wonders and to see the grace that you bring to us on a consistent basis. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.